Well, good morning to you here in this room and to those of you with whom I just was in the gathering. We dedicated 6 children in the gathering. You missed it here. You have to have more children in this room for that to happen. But we're dedicating on Mother's Day 6 children this morning at 9 o'clock in the gathering, and next hour, 11 children. So keep up the good work, I guess. It's Mother's Day, and we pray that you'll sense the blessing of God in your life if you're a mom. And if you're not a mom, we pray you'll sense the blessing of God also. You have your Bible open in this room to Luke chapter 10. If you're with us in the gathering, I'm going to invite you to open your Bible there to Luke chapter 10. In our series entitled, He Said What? And this morning we're looking at some of the things Jesus told Mary. In particular, he told Martha, Mary has chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. It's helpful for us as a church family to talk about priorities. We all want to have an acknowledgement of priorities, but really when we talk about priorities, it's helpful to understand what we mean by that. And all that we have to do is simply think about the word priority and what is the root of that. It's the word prior, and the word prior means to come before or ahead of or preceding. And so a priority is then something that comes before everything else. Everything else finds its way behind it. A priority precedes and is ahead of everything. It's supreme. It's what is essential. It is what is first and foremost of necessity. And when we talk about priority, we talk about what we're really saying in life then comes before everything else. And what would be the question we'd want to ask is, what comes before everything else in life? What is life's priority? And in this text in John chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, Jesus outlines for us what is the priority. It is the priority of being with and hearing from God and His Word. We take up the text in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, and there we read, Now as they were traveling along, they entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And Mary and Martha were sisters. They had a brother named Lazarus, and together they were some of the notorious people in the New Testament relationship with Jesus. And we want to look, first of all, a little bit about what we learned from Mary. What we learned from Mary. And verse 39 simply says this. A woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And Martha had a sister named Mary. And moreover, was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. Now, these were sisters. And whenever sisters, I'm sure, got ready to have company, they had parents who would say, it's time to get ready for company. And I'm sure these sisters had work to do, and they probably got that work together, done together. They got ready for company, and what would they have to do in the first century? Well, they'd have to get the vacuum out. They'd have to vacuum the floor and get the table ready, and they were going to prepare the food and make everything look great. And I bet there was probably a little bit of sibling rivalry, and there were probably, as is in every family, a difference in personalities between Mary and Martha. But what we're talking about this morning is not particularly a difference in personality. It's a difference in priority. Notwithstanding that they were certainly different in their gifting and in their personality, Mary and Martha had a difference in priority that is seen here, and the Lord puts his finger on it. So let's begin at verse 39, and we'll put that up on the screen. What we learn from Mary is that Martha had a sister named Mary who was listening to the Lord's word and seated at his feet. We can pick something up about Mary and her difference from Martha as Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. Now, it's important to note that women were typically not allowed to sit at the feet of a rabbi. They weren't invited in the culture to be that close or to be in the presence of a teacher. It was unusual. But will you observe that Jesus, the rabbi of all rabbis, welcomed it? And Jesus essentially was definitely changing culture by his coming. And he invites Mary to sit at his feet. And she's listening to his word. You see that? Listening to the Lord's word. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And when he walked on the road, the two men on the way to Emmaus said, "Didn't our hearts burn when the Lord spoke his word?" The Lord speaks his word and his disciples listen to it. And here's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. We want to be people who listen to the Lord's word, right? A first priority, that's what we listen to, the Lord's word. I think that's what Jesus is getting here, is that Mary's the one who listens to my word. Last week at membership class, someone said, I usually go around to membership and I say, "Well, you know, how did you hear about Calvary?" And by and large, just a reminder to you, people hear about this church because of personal relationships with others who talk about it. Or they get online and they see it online. So it's important that we have a friendly church and a good website. Secondly, I usually ask him, I say, "Well, what is it about Calvary that, you know, attracted you here?" And one of the guys said this. He said, "It's the second sentence you said in your sermon this morning." I couldn't remember what the second sentence was. I said, "What was it?" He said, "Please open your Bibles." He said, "I've been in a lot of churches and I haven't heard that very much. Please open your Bibles." And this a little bit of what I said last week is I don't have very much to give you unless we open our Bibles. And this is what Mary said. "I've got a very unique opportunity here. I know he's coming and we're going to serve him a meal. And we're all going to be together in the house. But he's teaching now and I want to sit at his feet and listen to what he says because my sheep hear my voice." She wanted to be there. Could I just tell you that God is concerned first of all with who you are and how you listen, and secondly concerned with what you do for him. And a life of service that we always talk about here and which God talks about a lot in his word emerges from a life of being with Jesus. It was said of his disciples that they were recognized as having been with Jesus. And that was true of them because of all the things that they were doing. And if you frankly took a quick look around this passage in Luke chapter 10, you would see that in the early part of chapter 10, what's being emphasized is that the 70 went out and they did ministry. And then there's a parable of the Good Samaritan. And what is extolled in the story of the Good Samaritan is that a couple people didn't do anything, and then one person, a Samaritan, did do something. So I'd ask you, is it in Jesus' mind, in his teaching, that what we do matters? Yes. But what he's putting his finger here on for Mary and Martha is the priority of being with and listening to Jesus. Let me show you a couple verses right here from Luke. Turn left in your Bible to Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. And we'll see a little bit of this priority of being able to listen to the Word of God as a first priority for our life. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Again, the words of Jesus. "Everyone who comes to me and..." What does your Bible say next? "Hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug it deep and has a foundation on the rock. And when the flood came, the torrent burst on that house. It could not shake it." Okay, what's he saying? Everybody who listens to my word and responds to my word and builds his life on my word will be like a man who builds his house on the rock. And if you don't do that, you'll be like the man who builds his house on the sand. And when the storm comes, the storm will blow down the house and it'll be over. Why? What's first priority? Listening to the words of Jesus and framing your life around his words. Again, we could look at chapter 8 and verse 20. Luke chapter 8, verse 20. It was reported to Jesus your mother and brothers are outside, and they want to see you. Your mother and your brothers are outside, Jesus, they want to see you. And he answered and said to them, my mothers and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. It really, it's Mother's Day. Your mother's outside. No, let me just tell you, a first priority is everyone who does, listens to my word and does my word. That's they're mine. They're my family. Again, one more place in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. Chapter 11 and verse 28, we just see it one more time. I guess we could start at verse 27. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you, Jesus, and the breasts which nursed you. Blessed be your mother. And Jesus said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Somebody was happy to say, you are so wonderful. May your mother be blessed. He said, no, no, no. Let me tell you what the first priority is. That everyone who hears my word and listens to it will be blessed. That's what we learn from Mary. And Jesus is zeroing in to say this is the first priority. Now, let's get a snapshot of what we learn from Martha. And this is where it gets interesting. Again, Luke chapter 10, verse 42. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations and came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. Oh, these are sisters. You notice what you see in that verse. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations, and she came up to him and she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me. Who's in Martha's mind? Yeah, me. Me. And I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about a snapshot of Martha, who is a well-meaning, and she's blessed and loved by the Lord, and she's doing good things. But she is a picture of us, of the person who's 24/7 high work ethic, as our culture would have. And it's something probably that many of us in this room struggle with. It's something we take pride in. Someone says, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, but I'm working so hard. Oh, man, I'm just busy all the time. I've got so much going on. It seems like I never stop. I'm so busy. I can't get a break. And we look at that and say, wow, there's somebody who's a go-getter. And Martha is a picture of that she's fussing around all over the place with all the things that need to get done around the kitchen and getting ready for company. And she is sort of exasperated that she's all by herself. And I'd like to suggest three ideas about the busyness of Martha that the Lord brings to her attention in a gentle way. You remember now, he's not condemning her. He's loving her. And near the end of this, he literally says, Martha, Martha, hold on. Number one, busyness can lead to self-pity, can't it? Busyness can lead to self-pity where we get so focused on ourselves. And this verse that we just read of Martha, hey, it's about me, what about me? I'm doing all these things, don't you know? The way we might do it in a more socially appropriate way is with a little sarcasm. Oh, it's okay, I got it. I'll take care of it. You say, are you comfortable? I'll do this. It's okay, I'll do everything. Now, your wife would never say that to you. Your husband would never say that to you. Oh, it's all right, I'll get it. But verbally, Martha is kind of a blunt person, and she's now the one who's kind of zeroed in on what she's doing and nothing else, and her priorities have sort of lost focus. The problem is not that Martha is serving. The problem is not the kind of work that she's doing. The problem was that she's worrisome about all of this work so that it distracts her from the very most important thing, and that was sitting right in front of her, and that was Jesus and listening to his word. The very privileged opportunity of listening to Christ. As important as service is, friends, it's not the first priority. a life of service emerges from time with Jesus. Service without worship deteriorates into selfishness and self-pity and self-focus. Four times the word me or myself is in this. You can get jaded if all you do is work, can't you? You can get really focused in on how much you're giving up, and the focus becomes yourself. And you say, oh, I can see these sisters. Oh, you sit there, Mary, take care of yourself. I'll get it. And, you know, plates go to the table. Or the refrigerator door closes a little harder. Or, you know, whatever happens to communicate that you're not. What about me? And that's what busyness can do. It can make you think about yourself. Secondly, as you see here, busyness can make us a little bit critical. Busyness can lead to a little bit of self-deception of ourselves and to self-pity and to pride. And if you get so busy that all you're doing is thinking about the work that you do and how much you do and when you don't get a break from whatever, you can lose your way. And simply what you end up saying is, hey, am I the only one around here doing this? If I'm doing this, she should be doing this. And she's not doing that, therefore she's a lazy you-know-what. You start thinking about what you do, and then you start comparing yourself to other. Now Martha's, she's good at serving. She's good at it. And she knows it. And she's pretty direct with her words. You can hear what she says to Jesus. Don't you care? Can you imagine, here is Martha saying to the Son of God, who loves her and gave himself for her, and who says, cast all your cares on me, I care for you. Don't you care? Can you imagine what I'm saying to Jesus? Don't you care? This is the same one who said, Lord, if you had been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. She's like us who tend to speak before we think. She's strong. She's easily judgmental. She's quick to be critical because she's got her life together. She knows how to get the table ready for company and know everything else that needs to be done. And this is what the Lord puts his finger on toward her. She's not lazy. It's not like she doesn't care. But I have a feeling that's what she's thinking about Mary. Mary's not doing what I'm doing, therefore she's not. And I want to just give a little word as pastor, as you think about all that you do at Calvary, all that you do wherever, all you do in your house, your home, your church. Try not to look at other people and say, well, if they don't do what I do, they must not be serving God. And that's an easy default position to get in when you start thinking about all that you're doing and why no one else is doing it. But there's a worse thing that busyness creates. That busyness does something else. It steals our communion with Christ. When you get so busy and you're involved in all of the things that you're doing, whether it's work, it's things around the house, it's having company, it's whatever it is, busyness can keep us from the very one thing that we need in our life. And this picture of seeing Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus while she has opportunity to listen to him, listening to the word, I'm sure there's plenty of things she could have done, but all she needed to do was sit and listen. She wanted to listen. It's really evident when we have not been with Jesus, isn't it? It's really easy to see. We say, well, it's clear that the kind of attitude I'm seeing coming out of my heart right now reflects to me that I need to spend a little more time alone with Christ. Because I'm thinking of myself, I have self-pity, I'm critical of others, and those busy schedules will crowd out my time with the Lord, which is exactly what I need in my heart if I'm going to be the kind of servant that honors the Lord. There's a graciousness to his tone when he says, Martha, Martha, listen. The most important thing here, Mary has chosen. She's got it. She's with me. Now, we want to have a congregation that generously gives in service, that generously does it, but does it in a way that says, you know what? First, I've been with the Lord, and out of my time with the Lord and the fullness of the overflow of my being with Him, I'm able to give to others. Busyness will always hinder your ability to hear from the Lord. One of the places you could turn to see this is Mark chapter 4. We won't do that now, but Jesus is telling a parable. I use it often because there are dangers in this parable that keep us from listening to the Word of God. One of them, which we've talked about, I think, just 2 weeks ago, is a love of money. A love of money will keep us from hearing the Word of God. But another one is, from Mark chapter 4, verse 19, the worries of the world and the desire for all the other things enters in and chokes out the word so that it doesn't produce God's fruit. Here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, being enriched in her life, and Martha's too busy to listen to the word of God. And what Jesus says is this: unless you listen to God's word and are nourished in him, you will not have anything lasting to give to others. And the busier you are, is this not true for you? The busier you are, the harder it is for you to get alone with God. So what did Jesus do? Jesus patterned his life of frequently getting away, being alone, being in a quiet place up in the mountains, someplace where he could hear God, be with him alone and listen to him. Busyness gives way to worry. Luke chapter 10. Verse 40, don't you care? And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, verse 41, you are worried and bothered by so many things, but only one is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, you're worried. It's the idea of being bothered, being troubled, being weighed down. You're all messed up. You have so many things you worry about that you can't see the one thing. That's corrective by Jesus. He's correcting her. But he's gentle with her. And he'll be gentle with you too. Is your life out of priority? Listen. Listen to what he would say. Love the Lord your God first. Not your things, not your accomplishments, not your schedule, not your wealth, not your status. Love the Lord your God first. And the Word of God. Only a few things are necessary and only one. I'm going to boil it down to this. You listen to the Word of God and then let your life flow from there. I'm not going to send her back to the kitchen. I'm not sending her to do that. Right now is the time for her to be listening. And she's chosen the good part. And she's chosen the first part. She's chosen the priority from which everything else flows afterwards. Everything else is after. It would be silly for me to send her back. Hey, I want to encourage you about a couple things. Those of you who are more like Martha than Mary. You know, we measure by ourselves by what we can accomplish in a day or a week. Maybe, you know, it's a Mark or Matthew. You know, it's not a gender thing, by the way. There are plenty of men in here, and I can be marked among them, where I measure myself by what I've accomplished in a day or a week or a year or a life. And I want to do that, and I want to make my life count, but I want to keep my priorities, that the best I have to offer, for example, to you as your pastor, is that I'm first with the Lord, that I'm hearing His voice. And when he speaks to me, then I can be your pastor in the most effective way. If I get busy doing too many things, which I can, I have a big list. I like a list. I make a list. And I can make a list of things to worry about, and things that I have to get done. And if I focus on that, I will be in a deficit position of really being who I know God called me to be. And so will you. What's first priority? first priority is knowing that a busy schedule can crowd Christ right out of your life. And it takes a vigilance to say, Christ first, His Word first. And unless I hear from the Lord, unless I'm letting His Word guide my life, I'm going to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off, getting myself all worried about all these things, and the sense is being dragged down by all these things that don't really ultimately matter most. So I want to just say to you, be aware of a performance-driven life, and that your quality of relationship with Christ is more important than the quantity of work you do for Christ. Secondly, we've touched on this a bit in this series, that this is kind of a reversal of things. We could say that the one who seeks her life will lose it. She loses her life for Christ's sake will find it. Unless you become as a child, you cannot enter the kingdom. Unless you become born again, you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. Well, here's another reversal. Our culture would say to us, unless you're doing everything, unless you're really, you know, so industrious and concerned with what you do and a performance-driven life, God is concerned, first of all, with who you are as a person, and are you communing with Him? And from that position, then you find your purpose in life and say, I know who I am and why I do what I do the way I do it. Why? Because I belong to Christ. Hey, we have never needed more than today a group of people who say Christ defines my life. My life is not governed by what the world is pressing me into its mold about being wealthy or being successful or being whatever. My life is defined by what Jesus has said is successful. Be with me. And from a place of being with God, then you can be the kind of mom that says, you know what? I love the Lord first, and I didn't get everything done today, but I am pleased to have heard the voice of Jesus, and I'm satisfied that I'm right with Him. I'll clean tomorrow. And husbands that would say, bless you. That's good. Listen to this text from the Message, Psalm 46:10. The Message is great. Step out of traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God. Above politics, above everything. I thought about inserting a bracket of my own words in there. Above politics, above company, above housework, above a perfect table, above a perfect garage, above whatever. You fill it in there where you listen to the Word of God come to you and say this, take a long look at me. Above everything else in your life, focus in. Get out of the traffic. Get alone with me. Hear from me. Follow me. And your priorities will be in place. Mary has chosen the good part. What are you choosing? It's a choice. Oh, you just don't know all the things I have. No. If you don't choose, you'll be swept up, swept away, swept under. Mary chose the good part. And the good part sometimes means that the table didn't get set perfectly, the food wasn't perfect, blah, blah, blah. That's in the Bible. The first part will help you live the rest of the part of your life. Let's pray. So, Father, I ask that you'll help us to identify what pressures us into a performance for God and others. Those of us who want to be seen as industrious and successful and busy, oh God, we ask for your forgiveness and for the freedom that would give us help in letting go of the things that just create worry. We're not asking to be irresponsible, only to be ordered in our priorities. And I pray that you'll give a soul and mind freedom. To be able to set aside some things that are not the first things. And help us to know that the one thing we lack most and desperately need is time with you in worship and communion. And I pray that we will be, first of all, people who can sit at your feet, listen to your word, hear from you, and then order our steps. And I pray that you'll give grace to every person who's more like Martha. I pray you'll give a freedom to order our life with you first. And I pray that you'll give a humility to all of us, knowing that we come with our foibles, we come with our worries, we come with our tendencies, and we need to be trained by the Lord. And we pray, Father, that we'll just hear this gentle word, Martha, Martha, Tom, Tom, calm down, be with me, listen to me. And I pray there'll be a listening heart all over our church and in every family. And Christ will be first and honored above all else. And we'll have our lives prioritized with Christ at the center. For your glory we pray. Amen.